podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, happy Monday, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. I guess the good news is we are all back together again. That's about the only positive on a Monday that we can talk about, certainly. Welcome in. Happy to be here. Let's get our heads right. After a four-game skid from our beloved San Diego Padres. And, we will be discussing it at great length today, I'm sure. But we've got a lot of things to get to. I don't want to... You know, it's why we do foreplay. We got to catch up on some stuff first. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. And back in town, Benjamin R. Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, back from Henderson, Nevada, after a third-place finish.
Third in our flight, yeah.
Third in your flight, yeah. In your member guest golf tournament out in Nevada. I had a lot of fun questioning your social strategy when you were out there. You're playing a beautiful golf course. On vacation, and you posted your hat, a picture of your scorecard, a picture of the board with your name on it. And I said on the air Friday, he really likes taking pictures of things with his name on it. I'm surprised they didn't have a locker with your name on it. You took a picture of that. But I wanted to see this.
I said guest number three.
Guest number three. I wanted to see this beautiful course. Now, you did post a picture of the Lambo that you almost won.
About 8 feet away from winning the hole-in-one Lamborghini.
Oh, now,
that
would have
been nice.
Did your heart flutter a minute when you hit the shot?
Well, I hit it. I pulled it a little left, but there was a side slope, so it kind of started rolling, and it was the perfect distance. So it was like... It was rolling directly at the hole, and I didn't think it was going to quite get there, but it was definitely like tracking. Everyone stopped for a second, and like, you know, you have a there's like two monitors because you have to buy insurance and everything.
Yeah.
And got the Lambo dealership guy who's there, and everyone stops and goes, hold on. Ooh. And they're like, wait. And I'm like, come on. But it slowed to a stop about 8 feet short of going into the hole and winning it was a $300,000 car.
It was one of the Lambo SUVs, which is beautiful. It was white, right?
It was gorgeous.
I mean, all right. Ray goes, imagine been driving in this morning in a Lambo. So it would be the greatest bit of all time.
We had this discussion, though. If you had won the Lamborghini.
You got to take the cash, man. I'm sorry. You have to.
Or you kind of have to sell it to pay for the taxes that you're going to take on that. Because that is a huge hit.
The oil change in that thing has got to be like $1,400 every time you get your oil change. They're like, yeah, man, $1,400.
Which I pay new tires, $7,000.
Which I pay $1,400 in oil change anyway. That's standard, so like, it wouldn't really bother me because I'm the guy that always gets rooked, except when I go to my beloved Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Now, did you make the birdie putt?
Not that one, though.
Damn it!
It was a twister. It was a twister.
So you had fun.
I did have good time. A lot of good golf. A lot of good food. Enjoyed company of my good friend, and we had a good time. Hopefully I'll get invited back again.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
I know Padres fans just hope it doesn't happen during the season because they now think I'm a... am I a good luck charm? Because as long as I stay here, I'm fine. But when I leave, the team starts playing poorly. That means I'm a good luck charm, not a bad luck charm.
Yeah, I think so. But it's also like you have to be able to take your vacation,
right?
You know, like that, and not feel bad.
I feel like it gives me leverage. I mean, how much should I... charge the Padres not to go on vacation anymore. If they start winning right away, they have to like pay me extra to like go nowhere during the regular season.
Well, it'd be smart of them, but listen, at this point, I don't know all the answers, but I am glad you're back. We had some interesting shows when you were gone. One person said, like, the first day, I can't do this without Ben. I'll talk to you guys Monday. Mm-hmm. And I said, all right, fair.
Good morning, by the way.
Yeah, good morning.
Welcome back.
Good morning. Then the next day said the same thing, and I wrote back, I know. I saw your exact same tweet yesterday. So I got the message. There's no need to reiterate, Adam. I got it the first time. You don't have to keep writing every day. Well, until I'm not listening until Ben gets back. I got on the first time. It was not a very nice message. But then to come back the next day and be like, I'm still not listening. I got it. So you were missed, certainly. The one person that did not miss you was A.J. Preller. He was actually very pleased that you were gone.
I heard.
Which was weird, which was really weird.
He
was
fun, and
it was like
took a couple of shots at me while I was gone.
Which kind of feels good a little bit, you know, when he takes shots. He's done it to me before. So that was really interesting. We had a really cool hour-long segment on Friday with Carlos Quentin, who's developed this app for kids, and I used it for my adult ball yesterday. It's called Before the Field, and I think a lot of Tier 1s got a chance to use it with their kids over the weekend. I got some messages about it, Benny. It's helping coach up the mental side of the game, which is vastly, vastly underserved for kids. As parents, we put a lot of stress, you know, on our kids, probably unnecessarily. This is to help them. It's a tool. He's so passionate about it. He's so smart. He sat right here. I did not look at the chat for an hour because I was just fascinated with what he was doing. So he was fantastic.
Zeke is very interesting because he's an extremely thoughtful,
yes,
intelligent guy who, as a player, had a reputation as being just an incredible hothead when he was on the field. Like, don't
Correct.
Look at him the wrong way. Carlos is going to, you know, he's going to charge the mound at the slightest provocation. But
yeah,
he's actually a really smart and thoughtful guy.
Extremely kind and thoughtful and flawed, like admitted to a lot of his flaws as far as parenting and coaching goes. It was just, I just had such a great time with him. Julian Delgadio was really, really good. Jake was really, really good as well. We had Ben's competition is what we called it. They're your competitors. They came in to compete. The results haven't been tallied yet on who did a better job. They were both phenomenal. Hannah has just commented in the chat, and I agree. Does Ben look different in some way? And she said, did he get lip injections? And I'm looking at you. When you walked in, I said, he does look different. Did you get your teeth done while you were in Vegas?
No, I have. It was very windy and dry. So I have the worst chapped lips I think I've ever had in my life.
Is that why they're all lubed up right now? They look phenomenal.
There's nothing I can
do about
it. They're
plump.
Pleasantly plump.
I certainly am probably a little tanner than I left, spending as much time in the sun. And for probably the first time in my life, I actually exercised this morning because I got up and did my 1,000th career Peloton ride with Leanne Hainsby this morning, and I got my first ever shout out. She even pronounced it correctly. She said, shout out Bensonitas 1,000 rides in California.
Unbelievable.
Which was really cool.
So that's why
girl,
you,
right?
That's, yeah, that's his girl.
That's my girl. That's why I woke up early, because she does it out of the London studio. So with the time change, classes are really early. So it was the 3:55 a.m. 20-minute classic rock ride with Leanne Hainsby Aldis, and I am now part of the 1,000 ride club.
She is she's the only woman that could get you to ride 1,000 times on Peloton.
I've done about 80% of my rides with her.
I love her.
I do almost every single one of her classes.
Now, do they archive the rides? Can we go back and pull the audio from your shout out?
I don't know. Yeah, absolutely.
It'll be
on there probably now if you go back to the now. How do you record it off of Peloton? I'm not sure, other than
Paulie's a genius.
It's on there for sure.
He will figure it out. That's a monumental number. Hannah's gotten it. She's done that before. Got her shout out as well. I know she was very pleased about that as well. That's huge. 1,000 rides.
About 5 years worth of Peloton riding.
That would take me 30 to 40 years.
I remember when I got to my 10th ride and I go,
this is awful.
Oh, I'm never going to be able to stick with this. This is impossible.
990 rides later. Here you are. Did I do that math right, by the way?
Yeah.
That's a good pull for me. I had perhaps the worst night's sleep that I've ever had in my whole life. And, you know, I've had some rough ones. This was, you know, obviously stone cold sober. I think I slept all in 12 to 13 minutes of actual REM sleep. And those came at 3:30 this morning. I looked and I go, I got about 50 minutes left. And I got about 15 minutes of REM sleep then. I don't know what happened to me. But as I laid down last night, I couldn't sleep. My chest was tight. It felt like somebody was sitting on top of me. And I just could not sleep. And you would think, like, oh, Ben's coming back in tomorrow. Yeah, we'll have a great time. No, it was the opposite. You made me very anxious, I think. I don't know why I couldn't sleep last night, but so I'm a little bit punchy, for sure. But we're going to push through this morning. But I'm glad you had a great trip, man. It was really good. There was some really the best baseball I saw this weekend. I was subjected to some bad baseball. Padres,
sure,
was bad baseball.
We'll get into that.
The Tier 1s are on a four-game skid. Some of the worst baseball I've ever seen.
Tough competition, but...
It is. It was. But we're up against it. The best baseball I saw all weekend was Field 4 of Paul Ecke Sports Park, Little League, T-ball and rookies. I was so proud of my kids. They both had monster games defensively. Taylor in T-ball, I'm not joking when I say this, he turned a double play. He didn't turn it, right? It's not like Khalil Green diving into the hole, flipping in the second baseman.
Sure.
He base loaded, catches the ball in the pitcher position, steps on home for the force, throws to the first baseman who drops it, then picks it up and steps on first. They had a double play. Bo made four straight outs in the field. Four straight. Ground balls to him, completes the throw.
I don't know that I've never seen that in a youth
never
baseball level.
Benny, I couldn't believe it. I was so proud of him, dude, and proud of the team. Everyone's been playing so well. That's the best baseball I saw all weekend. I mean, certainly didn't see it from the Tier 1s, didn't see it from the pods. Paul Ecke, Little League Fields, Field 4, very, very proud of my boys. They work extremely hard, and that was the best baseball I saw this weekend. Other than that, it was bad. It was one of your quintessential horse-ass San Diego sports weekends. It really was. With SDFC going down, Padres looking listless and lifeless and getting swept. It was a tough one.
My Lakers are falling apart.
Your Lakers are falling down. They're not San Diego sports.
I know, but for my teams have not done well over the last few days. It was kind of brutal.
It's been rough, man.
Following from afar. I didn't watch every game, like every second of every game, but I was following mostly on the MLB app as the Padres just could not score and could not score and could not score. I'm going, this is nuts. It's just 0-0-0-0 single inning I'm following. I'm going, they didn't score again? This is nuts.
How many innings 30. Did they officially
They got 30.
30 innings.
Innings. Like it's seven innings away from their all-time franchise record for futility.
It's excruciating. It's an excruciating brand of baseball. And that really fun, sustainable brand of baseball they had been playing when they were healthy, that's elite. It's the most fun and completely sustainable. But I think what we've now seen is you got to have the horses to do it. And if you don't have the horses to do it, it's a big onion that we're going to try to peel the layers back today. I think, honestly, when it's over, man, like I think that had something to do with my anxiety last night. I was really kind of bummed about it and kind of affected my mood again. And it's just such a rough week. And it's not like I'm just genuinely bummed because they started so hot. But when you peel the layers back, the one message I always hear from anybody that ever played, Q talked about it on Friday. All my buddies that played, you know, in the minor, everyone says to a man, stay positive. And I go, you have to. You absolutely have to. It's not easy. It's not fun. You feel like it goes against everything in your body to like try to stay positive, knowing there's 135 games or whatever left, Benny. Those players have to stay positive. The manager has to stay positive. Fans, you're going to do what you want. I get it. But in that clubhouse, and I think Schulte talked about it yesterday, hey, man, we're not worried. We're not panicked. You can't. You just can't panic.
If you told me this was the lineup they were going to roll out every day for the rest of the season, I would be legitimately worried.
100%. If this was it, we'd be dead.
I would be very worried about this team. You'd need Tatis and Machado to play so well to carry the offense. Yeah. That would be asking too much. They just don't have enough, you know, from four on to nine, really, or, you know, two, then four on to nine, to score with any regularity with the lineup they're currently putting on to the field. But I do have some hope that, you know, within, you know, a few days or, you know, at the most a couple of weeks, it's going to be a completely different lineup that's on the field. So it's very hard to make any sweeping generalizations other than the same one we made at the beginning of the season. Padres are going to have to stay relatively healthy to have a good season.
Yeah.
And if they're devastated by injuries, like most teams, they're going to struggle.
Can afford an injury here and injury there. Yeah, that's going to happen.
Absolutely.
You can't avoid that.
But you can't lose half your lineup at the same time and continue to play at the level you were playing at.
Yeah.
You know, if you want some encouragement, pitching still seems pretty good. They're pitching well enough to win games pitching. Regularly.
That's what's been the most frustrating for me is the pitching's been so good still. The lineup is has the potential to be good. Not the lineup, sorry. They're the team in general. They can go out and still like Manny and Toddy can single-handedly win you a game if they both have a good game.
They just have it.
And so you're like, you're tuning in because those two could each go 3 for 4 with a couple of runs driven in with the pitching. Like, they can win you a ball game. It's the rest of the team that can't do anything right now.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Need more, you know, and really need more from Manny, need more from Xander, obviously. And, you know, look, at this point.
Need more from everybody.
Need more from everybody. But, you know, Manny's saying we got to keep this thing afloat. It ain't floating. You know, it's I tweeted yesterday, there's a lot of ebbs and flows in a baseball season, but we are in straight ebb mode right now. There is no flowing for the San Diego Padres. And the worst part is, I was thinking about this yesterday. You know what the worst part about all this is? The worst part is that there's no game tonight. As bad as they are, the worst part about it is that there is no Padres game tonight. And that's the toughest part. So you're left to fester for another 24 hours or 36 hours till they play again. And so let's talk about it. Ben will set the menu for us next. I'm glad you're back. No wild tales in Henderson? I need more. I've just decided.
Right,
I need
well,
more.
I'm going to need more. I'll give you a little extra from my weekend
Take
off.
Take a trip to the wild side?
Yeah, I want to talk about the extracurriculars. When you were out there.
I got a couple things for you. Yeah, we'll set the menu.
Now I'm staring at your chapped lips almost. They did look plump, and now they do look chapped, very chapped. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And we'll get into more into the Padres' struggles, obviously, as we get started on a Monday. It's good to be back, everybody. Tier 1s, thanks for waking up with us here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Kelly's got traffic, and we're off and running. I know you're hoping for some sort of stories of debauchery.
More than anything, actually.
Yeah, we kind of need it at this point.
Tales of certain clubs.
Potentially.
And you're going to be disappointed. When Scott and I get together, we are as tame as two friends can be in Las Vegas. I mean, we were in Henderson almost the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is just a suburb of Las Vegas. We did the final night after the tournament was over. We went down to the strip and went swanky. We had dinner at Encore at Casa Playa.
Nice.
Which was their fancy Mexican restaurant, and we had the best. It was like your own al pastor spit where you carved
off. Oh, my God.
They brought it to the table. It was like pork belly al pastor, and you get to carve off pineapple and pork.
No way. In front of you. Did you do it?
We did it. We got to do it ourselves. Like, they gave you knives and tongs, and you just carve it right into your own tacos. It was incredible. Really, really fun.
All right, let's ask the question, though. When you go to a place like that, I thought you meant they brought it up, and it's one of those meals like when fajitas used to be like, hey, look at me, everybody. Hey, look who's got the... Hey, look at me. When you go to a fancy restaurant, don't you want somebody standing there carving it out for you?
It was really fun to do it yourself.
You liked it, okay.
Scott doesn't like me to post pictures of him, but that's what the spit looked like on the table brought it to.
Killer.
So that was pretty cool. And then we played some poker in the Encore poker room, which is really nice. Just cash game, 1-2 no limit hold'em, or 1-3 no limit hold'em. That was probably my biggest disappointment of the trip. I was at about 200 to 250 in chips in front of me.
Yeah.
And I got a king nine. There were two nines that came on the board. Looking good. I got three of a kind.
Three of a kind.
Gets a bet up big. Three players. I end up going all in. So I got there's probably $600-$700 in the pot.
Oh my God.
I get called and I go, uh-oh. And then I get called again and I go, what is going on here? Everyone flips over. There's one card left. Everyone flips it over. I've got king nine's the best hand. 10-9 I'm ahead of, and a guy has a pair of jacks and a pair of nines. So I've got the best hand. I'm about to win $700.
Don't tell me a
last
jack
card
on the
comes
river.
Out. Jack on the river.
Son
I lose
of a
to
bitch.
The full house and I'm busted out.
Son of a
busted out with all that money on the table that was going to come to me. And I'm like, oh, that's
Vegas a bad beat.
That's a bad beat.
You
that's
played
Vegas
it right.
In a nutshell. I did. I got in with the best and that happens sometimes. But
Benny, that's like a soul crusher.
That was a tough one.
That was your strip club money.
Yeah, I know. We went home, went to sleep after that, and that was it for the trip.
Oh, my God.
Other than that, trip went really well. Golf was a lot of fun. Course is great. The food at the course was great. So we had a really good time, and that was the extent of the debauchery, though.
Well, it's not that debaucherous, but I mean, listen, we're all getting older. The debauchery is few and far between.
Yeah,
certainly.
Anyway, we got a big show. We should probably start kind of setting the menu for you, because not only are we going to talk Padres, but obviously a lot going on this weekend, including what turned into a fairly big story nationally, and that was the mysterious drop of Shedeur Sanders all the way into the fifth round.
Yeah.
The prank call that surrounded it that just kind of added to the weirdness of the weekend of the NFL draft.
Imagine prank calling anyone. I mean, it's just childish.
Entirely inappropriate to ever call someone and pretend you are someone else.
You'd have to be a real childish turd.
It's criminal behavior.
To prank call anyone.
And pretend to be somebody else.
Right.
All for some laughs.
You got to be better, people.
Some hijinks or something that feel like there's no consequences to that.
Imagine doing it publicly.
Right.
Right?
I mean, it's one thing
to do a prank call, but to do it publicly, you'd have to be the lowest of the low, scum of the earth to do it.
How can I help you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Where could I find some marijuana?
Is this a real guy?
Loose cannabis?
Hi there. How can I help?
I don't even have a vape pen.
This sounds automated.
Loose cannabis?
Yep.
Ganja, a.k.a. cannabis.
You know.
This is can I help you?
Hey, how's it going?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm not a drug dealer.
Right.
Good morning.
Hello?
Spliff a boss at enemy head.
Bueno?
Everybody must get stoned. Get a lot of hang-ups.
Yeah, they did.
How can I help you?
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Where could I find some marijuana?
Where can you find some marijuana?
Correct.
Where could I find some marijuana? Ganja, a.k.a. cannabis.
At our dispensary?
I like a blunt or a big fat bowl.
Have blunts here.
Okay, now you're talking.
How can I help you?
I don't even have a vape pen. Hey, how's it going?
Hello?
I'm here.
I'm not a drug dealer.
Right.
Okay.
I love the cocaine. Cocaine, cocaine.
Okay.
Spliff a bus at enemy head.
It's my favorite.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good morning.
Good morning, how can I help you?
Hello.
Where can I find some marijuana?
The address should be right next to the phone number that you reached us at.
I was using my vape pen last night, and it was great.
Okay.
Let's smoke that bowl, hit that bong.
This is the prank call, but you really have nothing better to do? You're kind of a loser.
Thank you. We know.
So basically what we're saying is anytime you do a prank call and you're trying to be funny and you're impersonating someone else, it's wrong. You should never do it.
It's
inappropriate.
But we will have that for you.
Yeah, we will talk about that in our 7 o'clock hour. We've got our, of course, Padres, Ben and Woods Linsider. Dennis Lynn's going to join us at 8:35. Plus, games and giveaways, including Take on Woods. We got Padres tickets for tomorrow's Padres-Giants game. It's the Tony Gwynn rookie bobblehead night, so we'll give those out later in the show. And why not give some tickets away right now, because we also have two tickets for Top Rank Boxing Presents Navarrete versus Suarez at Pechanga Arena on May 10th. Fifth caller right now is going to win tickets for the boxing event. Tickets are on sale now at AXS.com. Three-time division champ Emmanuel Vaquero Navarrete defends his world title against unbeaten Filipino warrior Charlie Suarez Saturday, May 10th at Pechanga Arena. Call now, fifth caller, 833-288-0973. Going to win some early tickets here on a Monday morning, and then we'll get to our Padres crap up of, well, obviously it's fourth straight loss for the Padres. You know what that's going to sound like when we come back with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Quickly, let me tell you guys about my friends over at Sedano Ford. Go see Manny Sedano, veteran, local-owned dealership. Ford is a huge, huge part of my family's lives. I've had like a dozen Fords since I started driving. My grandfather worked at the factory in Detroit. All right, so definitely a brand we can get behind in the Woods household. And they got really good deals right now that'll make your season even sweeter. And, yes, they're giving you a shot still at employee pricing. That is the kind of deal that is usually for the people that work there. So now it's open to you as well. They're going to make you a good deal. It's Sedano Ford. That's what they do. They get you in the car or truck of your dreams. And one of the hottest offers they got going, the brand new 2025 Ford Maverick, just $219 a month, tariff-free. It is incredible value on a brilliant, brilliant new truck from Ford. So head on over to SedanoFord.com, get all the details there. But again, you can pop by the dealership in La Mesa, let them know Woodsy sent you. But if you're at work today and you want to peruse what they've got, just go to SedanoFord.com today. Go to SedanoFord.com. Oh, I've been looking forward to this all weekend. The old crap up.
Actually, I landed back in San Diego yesterday morning around 11:20, 11:30. So I went down to the game for
That's
a few innings,
to me,
thinking,
by the way.
Let's check out what's going on while I've missed. I've heard bad things, but got to see it for myself with my own eyes. Is the offense really bad?
It's bananas. I can't wrap my head around it.
I saw your picture on Instagram.
I did too,
and I thought to myself, you played like 3 rounds of golf a day.
700 holes. He went out gambling, carousing,
drinking,
eating El Pastor bone off the spit,
yep,
cutting it himself, traveled.
You land in San Diego.
And you go, I'm going to the baseball game.
To correct. Watch them get swept.
I'm already down there. Figured.
It's bananas to me.
Figured they can't be bad this consistently. They probably have a good game today. Wasn't the case.
I had the same thought. I thought they're winning today. I bet on them. Everything. I said they're this team is not losing.
They hadn't been swept all year.
Correct. They're not losing three in a row at Petco Park. They're just not. I mean, I was just extremely confident.
Another big crowd. I thought, okay,
huge.
They're going to lift them to a victory here.
Narrow.
I was wrong.
They did lose.
They did lose a fourth straight game, and
yep,
got swept for the first time this season. And we will crap it up for you right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame, it's a shame, it's a shame, it's a shame if they lose.
You got a problem, you got a problem, you got a problem, you got a problem.
Remix.
Oh, a shame indeed.
I couldn't agree more.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
What the heck happened?
Are you kidding me?
Can't even believe it.
It's the Padres
crap up
presented by Hamul Casino. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort with gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks. It gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, get back on the bump and figure it out.
And the 0-1 to Iglesias hit hard into right field and a base hit. Bogarts will come in to score, and the Padres take a 1-0 lead here in the bottom of the second. It's this one in the air to deep right field. Fernando kind of twisting and turning, going back. He's at the wall, looking up. It's going to go. So Taylor Walls with his first extra base hit of the year. A home run with one out in the top of the third inning, and that ties this thing up 1-1. 2-1, Vasquez deals, and Lau hits it hard off the side of the mound into center field, a base hit. Simpson racing around third. He'll come in to score without a play, and that stolen base looms large. An RBI single for Brandon Lau, and the Rays hop on top. It's 2-1. First pitch this time, swung on, hit in the air to right. Meisner back now in, kind of circling underneath of it. He'll make the catch. Fernando is tagging, the throw to the plate on the way. No chance to get him. A sack fly for Machado, and a 2-2 game here in the third. Randy is ready. The pitch coming, and outside gets away from Maldonado. Simpson will race home and score. Lyle goes up to second base behind the play. And on a ball that Maldonado could not handle, the Rays go back in front 3-2. Jeremiah ready. The pitch is swung on line sharply into right field. Fernando in and towards the line. On the run, he makes the catch. Tagging at third base, Caballero. The throw to the plate, the tag. He is out at home. What a play by Fernando. Came charging in to catch the line drive and then threw home to get Caballero and end the inning. And the 0-2 pitch to Simpson, line the other way, and fair into left field. Rounding third, Jankowski, he will score. The throw comes home, so Simpson takes second base. And Chandler Simpson, with his third hit of the day, extends the Rays' lead. It's 4-2. Yuli swings, cracks it on the ground to Caminero. He gobbles it up at third. The long throw to first is just in time, and the ball game is over. Fairbanks, a 1-2-3, bottom of the ninth inning, as the Tampa Bay Rays come to town and sweep the Padres.
Actually threw the ball mostly fairly well. Little self-inflicted with the walk, the wild pitch, you know, to a guy that can really, really run, and Simpson, who had a nice series and was a disruptor. You know, the walk, the bag, you know, that hurt. So homer to me, I mean, that's going to happen. Beyond that, Randy threw the ball pretty well.
That's tough, man. That's a tough one. I thought I saw a lot of fire Randy Vasquez into the sun. He certainly did not pitch well in Detroit. I thought yesterday, look, man, it unraveled on him when he had the guy punched out. Ball was right down the middle, called a ball.
By the way, that start in Detroit, do you give a guy a little bit of leeway when he didn't get in until 4 a.m., even though he tried to fly out from Houston the day before?
Three delays, like it was pretty gnarly. But, yeah, he wasn't competitive in Detroit. And, look, everybody's going to have some clunkers. I think Aaron Nola got his first win of the season last night against the Cubs. I think he got the win. But, you know, everybody's going to have a clunker, including your number.
No, I think he got a no decision.
Oh, did he get a no decision?
Yeah, pitched, they went to 10.
That's right. He pitched really well. You know, everybody's going to have a clunker from time to time. I didn't think this was a clunker from Vasquez. It did spiral on him a little bit. He got no help from Martin Maldonado, a very catchable ball that let, you know, the go-ahead run come in. You know, you can always go back and look. Hindsight being 20/20, should he have even been in that spot? I don't know, man. It's frustrating. It's frustrating because nothing is really going right other than the bullpen continues to be the best in baseball.
I think from my perspective, Randy Vasquez looked pretty good. You know, got through the first inning fast. Got a double play to get out of the second inning.
Yeah.
And he had a no-hitter going into the third. Gave up the solo home run to Taylor Walls.
Bad pitch. That sucks, dude.
That's, you know, first extra base hit of the season for a guy who's hitting like 160. All right, that was bad pitch. That does happen. Mike Schultz says that, you know, that's going to happen sometimes. And then, as you mentioned, looks like he gets out of the inning on a strike three. I was watching. Like, everybody, the Rays who were on, everybody on the field started walking off
Correct.
The field.
It was perfect pitch, man.
It was not, perfect. It wasn't one of even those on the,
no, it
on
wasn't
the,
even
on the edge.
On the black.
It was
no,
just
it was perfect.
A strike. Inning was over. They were all running off the field. And instead, it's called a ball. And you've got to be able to bounce back from that. And he gave up a couple line drive singles and ends up giving up the lead 2-1. And then the Padres come back and tie it. Now, it's really the offense, of course, that's the problem. It's not Randy Vasquez. When Randy Vasquez gives up three runs, it gives you a chance to win.
Yep.
You know, those are your back-end starters. They give you a chance to win. That's what you're looking for. It's the offense, obviously. That's the problem for the Padres right now. When you score two, and that's doubling your entire output for the week, we don't need to look any further. I mean, you can talk about...
You're so right.
We'll talk about Xander's struggles and the errors. Defense and pitching are not the Padres' problems right now. It is all about the offense.
Or lack thereof, yeah.
And really, I mean, you can look at the stars and say they need to do more, which is fine. But right now, the Padres can't, their theory of offense, which is, hey, let's string together a bunch of hits. We have the best batting average in the league. We get four or five hits in an inning. We're going to score two or three runs. They can't get four or five hits in an inning anymore.
They don't have four or five
players that can get hits in an inning with this lineup. They need big hits. They need home runs. And they're getting no power. They have not hit a home run since last Tuesday when Elias Diaz hit one.
So if they don't hit one tomorrow night against the Giants, it will be a full week. And again, it's hard because...
And I know that's not their strategy.
Correct. And we talked a little bit. You were gone, but we talked about it. We talked about it on the round table, right? And we're like, yeah, man, they're going to run into some homers as the year. This is the same Padres stuff you've heard for 20 years. It's not groundbreaking stuff. The homers will come. Not with this current iteration of players that we have. You know, you made the point off the air, and Steve just said, don't be scared to say Manny. It's not do more. It's do something. Manny needs to do something. Stop sugarcoating it for him. Manny Machado needs more than two home runs right now. He's got to have more than two. He has to. And
they had three. Chandler Simpson brought one back.
Fair.
And turned it back into two.
He absolutely needs more power. And I know that's something that it was one of his goals. We talked about it in spring training. He wanted to hit more bombs.
He thought 40 was definitely
was in
within
reach. And it just hasn't happened for him right now. Xander has zero. You know, it's this team has a severe lack of Gavin Sheets, who, you know, was starting off really promising.
Hit two in the first like 4 days. He's had one since then.
One since then. It's just they are not hitting the ball out of the ballpark right now. And it's pretty glaring. When they are back at full strength, right, and they have everybody back, you'd like to think that that will come. But again, do you go away from your strategy of what got you all those early wins and moving
to the
next guy?
It's not the same team. And when you have Arraez and Cronenworth in the lineup hitting some line drives, you can string together hits and put together quite a bit of all year in the year. But with all those guys out, I just don't know that's a viable strategy anymore. You know, their batting average has been in the 100s over the last week and a half.
Everybody lost their minds on Saturday because you saw guys, Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny, trying to do too much, right? And Fernando's strength this year has been, I'm going to all fields. He's still got, you know, he's leading the team in home runs right now. When Manny, Fernando, when they get out of having good at-bats, trying to put together good ABs, drive the ball the other way, that's when this team gets in trouble. I mean, you can't get any more trouble than we have right now.
I understand that you don't want to get away from a good at-bat. You never do. But a good at-bat right now, if Fernando Tatis works a walk and gets on base,
it's kind of wasted.
Line drive, it's just wasted.
It's wasted.
It's wasted.
Yeah.
And I know it's not never a good thing. Hey, just swing out of your shoes and try to hit a home run. But right now, if you have no one who can bring you in, Xander can't bring you in. Manny's not hot right now. He's not bringing you in. Getting on base for Fernando almost does nothing. Well, he came around and scored the one run yesterday. You know, Manny had a nice sack fly. Did his job.
Right. But you need more. You need a double.
But it wasn't enough.
It's not enough. You have to pile on.
Those guys doing their job right now
is not enough. It's just not.
Tatis is doing his job. Manny did his job in that at bat.
Correct.
He lifted a fly ball, first pitch, went the other way.
But he needed a double.
Got a bunch of high fives. They needed a three-run homer. They didn't need a sacrifice fly anymore. They're not winning those games because no one else is doing anything.
You're right. And you know, man, so I saw people yesterday and really across the weekend. Xander Bogaerts had a rough one. He had a really, really rough one. I think people can deal with scuffling at the plate, struggling. Things aren't going your way. When you're costing the team games defensively and you're not contributing offensively, that is a tough look. He is in a full-on grinder of a torture chamber right now.
I get it. But Mike Shildt, you know, always going to be the voice of reason and keeping things calm after the game. I thought he had some wise words after the game. Paulie?
Oh, yes. Very wise words.
How dare you? How dare you? He's going to kill you.
How do you assess the last four games compared to where this team was at the start of the season?
This is really smart.
Excuse me.
Wrong hole.
Wrong pipe.
Yeah, wrong pipe.
It happens.
I love it.
Well.
Oh, no.
Well.
Sorry.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
You got me, Jeff. Sorry. Hold on a second. Yeah, I mean, that's a lot to unpack, right? I mean.
So people are asking, too, in the chat, why is he hitting Xander fourth? Where is the ideal spot for Xander Bogaerts to hit? What?
What do you want to hit fourth?
I don't.
Gavin Sheets second.
It's right. Where do you? You're the skipper for the day. We love playing skipper for the day. What's your lineup look like?
If you want to put Oscar Gonzalez fourth and Xander fifth, fine. Well, I mean, who's hitting better?
Right.
No one's hitting better.
Not putting Tirso fourth. You're not putting Tyler Wade, Elias Diaz. Nine, you're not putting Jose Iglesias fourth. You're not putting Gavin Sheets fourth, maybe, but then where are you batting?
Second.
Where are you batting Xander? Seven? Who moves up? Like, again, they're not good right now. They're not good. And I do want to talk about, I tried to argue this point a little bit on Twitter. You know, nuance is obviously lost. Guys, as much as it pains me to say it, it's not simple. It's not that simple to take Xander Bogaerts. We got to, hey man, we got to cut our losses. That dude is owed $250 million.
That's a conversation we have in 5 years.
Correct. That's right. That's right. Guys, I hate to tell you, this is what it is right now. And until he figures it out, we do not have one. Okay, let's play it forward. What team goes, I'll take him. It's going to cost you. You would have to give up four top prospects and $200 million to get rid of him.
You keep working at it, and you keep hoping that, you know, he finds something and locks it.
Patrick says, stop defending him. He's cooked.
There's no,
one's defending
him. There's no other choice.
No one. But you don't have a choice. You are stuck.
I mean, if Leo DeVries starts absolutely mashing in a year or so, I mean, yes, you're going to put him at shortstop, and you're going to move Xander somewhere else and figure it out. But there's no one to call up. They've called up every viable player that they have in the system. There's no one left.
I mean, trade X and Salas to Boston. They don't want him. They let him go. It's not going to happen, man.
There's no one in the minors that is knocking on the door at the moment. You got to ride this down. We'll continue and we'll talk a little Shadour next.